From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of January 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, first on the list today. If you're signed up to come to the Corn and Soybean Classic at the I Hotel in Champaign tomorrow, despite the very low temperatures, we are a go, and unless there's some unreasonable change in the weather forecast, like a whole bunch of snow and a lot of wind, we'll be a go tomorrow. If you were signed up for any of the rest of them and didn't make it, go ahead and show up tomorrow at the I Hotel, or if you just want to come, that's all good too. Now, coming up during this edition of the Closing Market Report today, we'll talk with Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and take a very cold look at the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies. That's John Davis and Mark Russo and company. And it all happens during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Well, let's check now the numbers in Chicago as they finished up at the CME Group. Nearby soft red winter wheat in the March contract at $5.63.5, down 3.75, or down 1.75 for the day. July at $5.75.25, down 1.75. The hard red July at $6.16, finished 3.25 lower. March corn futures at $4.31.75, up 2.25 on its settlement price. May at $4.38. Two higher. July 4.44, up 2.5, and September corn $4.47.25, up 3. December at 4.50, 2.5, 3 cents higher, and the March of next year at $4.62.25, up 3 cents. March soybeans 3 cents higher, $12.87.75. May futures at $12.71, up 1. July 12.56.5, down 1.25, and the August soybean settled 12.15.5, down 3.25. November contract $11.50.5, down 7.75, and January futures of 2015 down 8 cents today at $11.06.75 on a Monday afternoon. Bean meal futures at 4.30.90, up 5.20 in the lead, and the March soybean oil at 37.6, that's down 48 cents. Live cattle futures finished the February at 143.15, down 25. April up 50 at $140.55. January feeders 170.97.5, up 27.5. The March down 7.5 at 168.80. And lean hogs in the Feb at 85.57.5, down 80 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. March contract, $95.65 a barrel, 99 cents lower. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, down 3.2 cents to $2.63. And the ethanol futures at $1.75.5. That's 0.9 cents lower. The difference between the two is 87.5 cents wide on the spread. That's 0.3 cents narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. And natural gas at 486.8, down 31.4 cents today. Diesel fuel trading at $3.09, down 4 cents on the afternoon. And gold futures at $1,263.40 an ounce, down 90 cents. The U.S. dollar at 80.51. That's up 0.05 on the afternoon. Hey, tickets are on sale for our March 4th all-day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House. They're just $30, and you'll hear today, or rather on March the 4th, from Sue Martin, along with a whole bunch of other folks on marketing corn and soybeans. Murray Wise will be there on farmland values, as well as Jonathan Kappas to talk about the farm bill. The price includes a continental breakfast, lunch, and our 25th anniversary hat. It's just $30. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card to reserve your seats today. Again, the March 4th all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Buy your seats today at 217-333-7300. The weather forecast says it'll be sunny and cold today with a high of 9 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, and a low of negative 15. Tomorrow, sunny and cold at a high near 6 degrees. Tuesday evening, clear and 2 below, and on Wednesday, sunny and a high of 22 degrees, partly cloudy on Wednesday night and 16, and on Thursday, a 30% chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 31. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 13 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media. On this Monday afternoon, the 7th day of January 2014, we're joined to take a look at the commodity markets by Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Always a pleasure.
Well, a couple of things to begin with. For those who are wanting to know, are we having the Corn and Soybean Classic Series tomorrow? It was canceled once, and the answer is yes. It was rescheduled to tomorrow. We will be doing the Corn and Soybean Classic, and unless something changes drastically in the weather, I doubt that it should between now and then, despite the great cold, we will be starting at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. And for those folks who didn't make it to one of the previous ones but were registered, go ahead and show up. If you weren't registered, go ahead and show up. We'll have probably some places for a few walk-ins, too. That's at the iHotel. And, Kurt, our all-day Ag Outlook is up and running, and sales of tickets are underway. So you can call 217-333-7300 to reserve your ticket for the Beef House over in Covington, Indiana. That should be a great one, too. Looking forward to having you and Pete Manhart and a whole bunch of other folks over there.
Unbelievable. It's that time of year again, but it's always an event to go to, and it's always real informative. It's real worth the trip.
Absolutely. $30, and you can come and see Pete and Kurt and most of the rest of, almost all of our analysts for the day at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Call 217-333-7300. And Kurt, you all get a hat this year. That's brand new. It's our 25th anniversary. Kind of neat, huh?
Boy, that's worth the whole trip right there.
Yeah, just keep saying that to yourself. Actually, I've seen the hats. They're really nice. It's a really nice hat. So those who want to come, they can dial in now if they want. Folks are ready to take the phone calls. Have your major credit card to go. Speaking of major credit cards, soybeans continue to be on a blistering pace for export. Will they slow down at all, do you think?
Well, we feel so. We saw shipments fairly strong. We shipped out 73 million bushels. We're just a little over 1.1 billion bushels shipped out. We've shipped out about 75% of the USDA goal up there at about 1495. So, you know, it's fairly active. As long as we keep shipping them out, hopefully we won't run into a situation like corn. You get it over there, all of a sudden something's wrong with it, because politically they probably had enough to work with, so they want a new home. But overall, we feel we're on pace. We're going to reach that goal. I don't know if we're going to go much above it, because we will see a shift from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere as we move more into February. Boats already lined up in the southern hemisphere. Transportation right now is the goal to move beans, secure supplies in the southern hemisphere, move it to Asia. If we do see a pickup in business, it'd be more of some type of delay or hoarding concerns where Argentina, Brazil wants to hang on to the beans. But it'd be later on in the marketing year, midsummer, where I think maybe some prices could come back our way. But that's a long ways away. But in the meantime, the trade is waiting for some cancellations. We've not seen them yet. We did see some new crop sales of beans that are known, 183,000 tons. That's 2014 production. And I think China's, or Asia in general, is in a situation where they're pretty shrewd marketers and they want to take advantage of wide basis levels. So they're early buyers. And whenever the basis gets strong, they want to have their purchases booked or in order or in line so they don't have to chase the market. So I think we're pretty well done for right now. Just hopefully we won't see big cancellations come at us in the near term here, Todd.
Well, most producers will have sold most of their beans by now, but there are some that still have soybeans from the harvest that are available to sell. Should they protect the downside risk in this market for old crop?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Get a price floor here, especially watch the lows we made here. Just recently, if we go much below that, that's really going to turn the chart picture negative. What we're more in favor of is going ahead and cash them in, get your money, replace ownership on paper with a call option, for say. That way, if the market takes off, you're on board. If not, you can be out, 25, 30 cents or whatever type of strategy you use, because if we see a sustainable up move in the bean complex, it would be speculatively driven. And we would expect the board would gain on the cash market, and you could lose some improvement in basis here. So we feel the advantage would be on paper, and that would be a spot to be here to play catch up or have ownership to gather some extra income to add to that bottom line, Todd.
Now, corn has been to the upside since the very first of the year. That first week, it made a low, what, in the nearby contract, the March, that is, but around 406 and a quarter. Anything here that we need to be wary of at this time?
Oh, we got a yearly reversal to the upside. We got a monthly reversal to the upside going here. Technician here kind of used it. We recorded a cyclical low here that first full week of January, and we're ready to roll here. We just need to convince everyone else. We're just sort of caught in a sideways trading pattern here. Decent demand underneath the market. Saw an unknown buyer buy 119,000 tons of corn. So it seems like we've got some dips in here that buyers are willing to get a little bit more coverage on. Basis on corn remains fairly strong, especially during these cold spurts, per se. Thing about corn, if you look at a price chart, we've just virtually been sideways in the same pattern ever since the first part of November. It's really been kind of a hedger's dream because the cash is held in there fairly well while the futures just kind of drug its feet here, Todd.
So you talked about the tax. They usually lead the market but don't tell you what the fundamentals behind it might be. What's out there that would lead this market higher? Because that would be the opposite of what most are thinking.
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of guys sold all their, most of the beans and hanging on the corn. There's a lot of corn, will be corn for sale, for say. I don't foresee a big up in through here. But commodity funds are big shorts in the marketplace. Today we saw unwinding of the spread. They kind of sold the beans and bought back short corn positions. Stays cold. I think feed demand will rise. There's talk that maybe test weights were weaker, that we don't have the crop that we had out here earlier this fall that they expected. Then above all, the dryness in the West. We still got issues where, not a whole lot of moisture out there. Irrigation-wise, there's guys that's not going to have the water rights to work with. So there's several things that could give the market, a little bit of a pop here as we move into the spring. But I don't know if I'd bet on a big rally here unless the dry weather moves to the east here.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Hey, two things. Call right now for your All-Day Ag Outlook tickets, 217-333-7300. Also, if you're interested in our John Deere trip, same phone number, 217-333-7300, and they'll pass you on to the right folks there. That's about, $550 for the 3 days to see the harvester works, the tractor plants, and Moline, Illinois. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew says he now believes that the federal debt ceiling will hit the current ceiling in late February rather than in early March as earlier forecast. The new schedule will require members of Congress to move earlier with a little more speed if the country is to avoid another fiscal crisis. Failure to raise the debt ceiling could put the full faith and credit of the United States in jeopardy. A cold snap is stretching supplies of propane gas and causing transportation bottlenecks across a broad section of the U.S. Governors and federal regulators have taken the rare step of loosening transportation rules for about 33 states in the South, Midwest, and East to allow additional hours for truckers to deliver propane and keep up with demand. Some are questioning, though, what's driving a spike in propane prices. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission asking for oversight of the propane market. Running low is already a concern in some places. Propane supplies were lower than normal before the cold weather, partly because farmers had to use an unusually large amount of dry grain before storage. The government said propane supplies dropped to the lowest level ever during the second week of January. Indiana's Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee has approved Senate Bill 357, a piece of legislation authored by State Senator Richard Young that would legalize the cultivation and production of industrial hemp in Indiana. Senate Bill 357 also sets additional provisions providing for appropriate oversight from the Office of the Indiana State Chemist and Seed Commissioner, as well as the Indiana State Police. Individuals interested in growing hemp would be required to obtain a license and would be subject to periodic inspections. Any applicants for a license would be subject to a state or federal background check and would be ineligible if they were found to have a drug-related felony or misdemeanor in the last decade. 10 states, including Kentucky and West Virginia, have taken steps to legalize cultivation of industrial hemp. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Three items of note. The Corn and Soybean Classic for the iHotel, scheduled for tomorrow, is a go. If you happen to have been scheduled to be at any of the previous Corn and Soybean Classics and didn't make it, just show up tomorrow. You're certainly welcome. We'll start at 8:30 a.m. Registration opens about 7:30 tomorrow morning at the IO Hotel, just to the south of the Assembly Hall. The John Deere bus trip is starting to get a few hits, and if you want to come, I'd like to know about it. You can give us a call at 217-333-7300. We need to know how many folks are going by February the 9th. That's our go, no-go date. So if you're planning on scheduling that trip, March 10 and 11 and 12 to see the John Deere Harvester Work plants, that's the combine plant in Moline, and the tractor plant where they built the tractors in Waterloo, We would like to hear from you. 217-333-7300 is the number to call. That's also the number to call to get your tickets for our March 4th All-Day Ag Outlook. Yes, you can buy them now. Yes, it usually sells out, so yes, you should make the phone call today. 217-333-7300 for the All-Day Ag Outlook tickets. Scheduled for March the 4th, that's a Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Now up next, you know, soybeans are leaving this country at a blistering pace. The export market for the oilseed ramped up last fall, and it isn't showing signs of slowing down. However, as you'll hear in a moment, something will need to curb China's appetite for U.S. soybeans soon. The consumption of U.S. soybeans is on track to exceed the available supply. That's the conclusion of University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He says USDA's projected domestic crush of 1.7 billion bushels may be too small, and so might its export figure.
The USDA projection of marketing year exports is 13% larger than last year's exports. Through the first 21 weeks of the year, export inspections were 17% larger than those of last year. That pace, then, is higher than the pace implied by the USDA's projection.
This all adds up to more consumption than might be possible given the number of bushels available. However, there are some caveats.
The magnitude of unshipped sales is also much larger than that of last year. As of January 16th, those outstanding sales stood at 514 million bushels compared to only 307 million at the same time last year. These total export commitments, that is, shipments plus outstanding sales, stood at 1.55 billion bushels, 54 million more than USDA's projection for the entire year. If exports for the current year actually reach 1.55 billion bushels, year-ending stocks would be less than 100 million bushels, or less than 3% of projected consumption.
Good says stocks, realistically, cannot be reduced to such a low level. A more likely minimum is about 125 million bushels. So to clarify, the current pace of domestic use, or the crush, plus the current export pace, that's not sustainable. Also, unshipped cargoes of soybeans are greater this year than last. Good thanks those items all add up to this conclusion.
Exporters appear to be selling soybeans that will not be available.
Well, how does the discrepancy get fixed? Well, there are several options. The crush can slow down. Export sales on the books already can be canceled. Some of the sales could be rolled forward into the next marketing year. More soybeans could be imported from South America this summer. Or USDA could lower the ending stocks figure. Each of these pathways holds a market move higher and a market move lower. It isn't clear yet which will be the case, says Darrell Good.
For now, prices appear locked into a broad sideways pattern until the likely pathway becomes more obvious. For producers still holding old crop soybeans, the higher price pathway would be welcome, but holds the most risk since a large U.S. crop in 2014 is expected to eventually lead to lower prices. Protecting the downside price risk on old crop soybeans still seems prudent.
Those wanting to read more from Darrell Good on the price of soybeans can find his articles online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now the cash grain market. On the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Greg Johnson. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's cold, but I suspect there might be a few people that have ventured out and moved corn. Are you taking any receipts today?
Very few. I'd say I could count them on one hand. I think the weather's just a little too cold to get too much equipment fired up in weather like this.
Have you fired it up to ship things out?
No train showed up over the weekend, so I guess we're going to wait till the trains show up.
You having a tough time getting trains, I don't think it's cars that are a problem, but maybe you might be engines could be a problem, I guess.
Right. No, we've actually been in pretty good shape. In fact, sometimes we get more cars than what the track can hold, but that's a good problem to have.
What do you think about the marketplace at this time?
I think corn is just stuck in a very narrow trading range. We were up a little bit last week and followed through to the upside today, but if we get corn too high above that 440 on the nearby contract, the farmers are going to come out and probably sell corn because there's still a lot of unsold old crop corn yet to price. And new crop, acres should be down, so I think farmers are waiting for a little bit of a rally before they sell a little bit of new crop.
Will they get the chance on the old crop that they're waiting for?
I think so. I don't know what exactly it's going to be, but it just kind of feels like over the next 30 to 60 days, maybe we can get a little bit of a bounce before, reality sets in and we start talking about a bigger carry out, and it's just too early to worry about weather problems yet. So it's probably going to take some kind of a weather issue to really get much of a rally, but hopefully we can get a little rally between now and then.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 425, new corn 427, cash beans 1298, new beans 1076, and new wheat 550.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Mr. Johnson, who joins us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Thanks to Greg for doing that. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Chocolate Cake Day. The domestication of coca beans dates back to at least 1500 B.C., and by 300 B.C., Maya elitists were drinking an unsweetened coca drink made from the ground beans. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Ralph Majewski was born. A Polish-born American bridge builder and designer, his first major commission was the design and construction of a 7-span bridge with railway and highway over the Mississippi River at Rock Island, Illinois. In 1922, Nellie Bly died. In 1889, Bligh successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bligh was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. And in 1950, Science magazine announced the new antibiotic tiramycin. Made by Charles Pfizer and Company, it was isolated from Indiana soil and found to be effective against pneumonia, dysentery, and other infections. It was the result of the company's intensive quest to find new organisms to fight disease, acting on theories that bacteria-fighting organisms would be found in soil. Pfizer solicited soil samples worldwide, received 135,000 soil samples, and conducted more than 20 million tests. Researchers literally got soil samples from the bottom of mine shafts, from the bottom of the ocean, from the desert, mountains, and everywhere in between. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Let's check now the weather forecast. Mark Russo, the senior weather analyst for Worth Earth Risk Technologies, out of Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the cold weather and then what you see as we go further into the end of this month and the beginning of next month.
Yeah, well, this current cold air outbreak will continue over the next several days. Today, tomorrow is the heart of the cold before we do see some moderation as the center of the air mass pushes off to the east. But again, we'll see some reinforcing shots here coming up. Overall here, it looks like still for the next couple of weeks, this current air mass looks to be the strongest overall. But this colder than normal pattern still looks prevalent, still looks locked in place over the next several weeks. So it's kind of more of the same. If anything here, coming up from a precip standpoint, things look a little bit stormier, as we do see with this cold pattern some embedded waves of low pressure and embedded storm systems tracking across. So as we go through the remainder of January and begin February, there's some indications here that we could see some substantial snow and substantial precip here across the Midwest, especially Illinois.
Yeah, that would be across Illinois, comes in the form of snow. What about the western part of the Corn Belt, parts of the Plain States? They've been pretty dry.
Yeah, they have been, and that's been the pattern here throughout much of this winter. As this stormy pattern begins to evolve, it does look like portions of the western Corn Belt, even extending into the plains, there are opportunities for precip look to be increasing here going forward. Not really this week, but as we move through next week. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on here going forward, and certainly they need the precip here to begin to make up these precip deficits that have begun to grow again across that region.
Your version of the South American weather, please.
Really good shape. We got good rains in Argentina last week, and more is on the way this week into the start of next week. The one item to watch now going forward is actually in Brazil, where southern Brazil kind of missed out on rains over the weekend, and this dryness that's been kind of prevalent over the past couple of weeks in areas of the center north and southeastern Brazil, you know, Mato Grosso down over to Sao Paulo and Minas Gerais. That dryness will be expanding southward to encompass more of southern Brazil. So that's something to keep an eye on. Nothing to get overly concerned right now, but if it begins to persist really throughout all of February, that will begin at least cause some increased concern here and begin to stress the soybean crop.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technologies. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, serves as their senior weather analyst. Don't forget to dial in for your tickets to the All-Day Ag Outlook. The phone number to call, 217-333-7300. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
WILL programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers. Todd Gleason will present a Market Outlook Roundtable featuring Steve Meyer, Tom Fitzenmeyer, and Jackie Fakes on February 5th during the Illinois Pork Expo at the Peoria Civic Center. All farmers welcome. More info at ilpork.com.